You know, there's nothing like being in the presence of God. So there's nothing like being in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to take just a few moments, talk about the glory, talk about the power of God. Then we're going to lay hands on folks at one prayer. I believe in the anointing. I believe the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, sets the captive free. I believe we have to have the demonstration of the power of Almighty God. Anytime we show up, when the Holy Spirit's in the house, he has what he wants to do. He wants to demonstrate himself. He wants to fill people with love. He wants to fill them with peace. He wants to fill them with joy. He wants to touch your body, your mind. He wants to set you completely free. That's why the Holy Spirit's here tonight. Hello, it's not so that we can just feel good. I mean, we do feel good, but it's beyond that. It's about a life-changing touch from God Almighty. Are you listening to me? That's what it's about. Unfortunately, the church has gone in a direction where the power and the presence of Almighty God is not evident. Hello? I said it's not evident. There are many churches that had meetings this morning, and I can tell you right now, it was like a dry cleaning service. In by 10, out by 11. Hello? Just a few things happened there, but nothing substantial, nothing to change the hearts. Listen, let me say this. I'm not looking for a good meeting. Well, that was a good meeting this morning. Really? What was good about it? What can be good in an hour? Sometimes it takes some people longer than an hour in the morning just to wake up. So most people show up at church in the morning, they're half asleep, they haven't had their coffee, and they only wake up at about 3 hours after church is over. Hello? What can we do in an hour? Yet we turn people in on a Sunday morning. We have an hour meeting, we churn them out and get the next one in. We have an hour meeting, we churn them out, and then we get the next lot in. No wonder those churches are so big. Because you come there, there's really no commitment, there's no change, there's no stir. You're not feeling convicted of anything because the Holy Spirit's not welcome there to come and convict anybody of anything. So you can come in with sin and leave with sin. I mean, that's how it goes. Don't tell me they're doing a good work. Good work at what? Keeping people in bondage? Hello? Keeping people in bondage? Keeping people in their religious frame of mind? Keeping people depressed? Listen, guaranteed in that hour there wasn't no joy breaking out. Guaranteed there was no joy. Now the Holy Spirit's looking to move. He wants to move. But in many cases, he can't because whoever stands in the pulpit dictates to God what's going to happen. We have an agenda here this evening. We have a time frame. We don't have time for the Holy Spirit to show up. Hello? The moment we set a meeting and the Holy Spirit's not welcome to do whatever he wants to do, then it's all about man. And it's not about God. I don't care what you say. It's not about God. It's about man. Well, people don't really like long meetings. Well, not when they're dead. Hello? They don't like long meetings when it's dead. Isn't it amazing how we can go to the movie theater and go watch any movie you can think of, and it's a two-hour movie or three and a half hour movie. You're there, popcorn, drinks. You quickly slip out to go get a refill because you get a free refill, and you just popcorn and drinks and just having a great time. 3.5 hours later, whoa, that was a long movie, but that was good, yeah. Then you show up at church and they go, you know, 64 minutes. That's just a little bit over an hour. Just for those that didn't know. They go, 64 minutes. Wow, this service is long. What's up with these people? You just sat for 3 hours yesterday watching a Tarzan movie, and now you're at church and you can't sit for 64 minutes? Hello? Come on. You see a problem with that? Anybody ever been for a massage? Anybody? Look, I've been for massages before, and I can tell you right now, a 15-minute massage ain't going to help me much. Hello? Actually, in fact, an hour massage just barely breaks through the surface. Hello? So, you know, we can go get our nails done and get our feet done, and that's for the ladies, that's a 3.5-hour project right there. You're sitting in that salon with people that you can't even understand what they're talking about, and they're all laughing at you. Hello? But you'll go and you'll take that abuse and sit there for 3.5 hours, get your toes done, they'll paint it with little flowers on it, you get your hands done. When you come out there, you actually don't even know it, but you're a little high because of all the fumes that are going on in there. Hello? And they just keep telling you, $5 more, $5, $5. I'll give you flour, $5, $5. No, you got to have flour on the other side. Give you another $5, $5, yes. And you're like, yeah, okay, $5. Three and a half hours later, you walk out there with some flowers painted on your fingernails and on your toes, and they put you in those funny little things. You walk around the mall like this, because nothing is dry, carrying your shoes with you. Hello? That's okay. But heaven help the preacher on a Sunday morning if he goes over what the allotted time is. Do you see a problem with that? Do you see a problem with that? So we want God to fix us in an hour. When the lady behind the counter couldn't fix your nails in an hour. Hello? What do you call when they do that to the feet? My wife, she's... Is that called a pedicure? Is that a pedicure, the feet? Any man ever had a pedicure? Anyone? Any man? All right. Let me tell you what, men, let me say this to you. Real men will go for a pedicure. Real men. You have to be a real man to go get a pedicure. I know that because I went and had a pedicure myself. Where am I going with all this stuff? I don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, let me finish my point. I don't even know what it's going to be, but we'll find something in it. Amen. Now, let me say this. I sat there and they pull out the hacksaw and the chisel and start going, working away on my toes. And then when they're done and they're soaked and they've done all that stuff and put their stuff on your legs and that, then they look at me and go, what color you want? I'm like, no color. No color. We give you clear. No, I don't want anything that comes out of a bottle on a brush that goes on my toes. Nothing. Oh, make it shiny. No, I'm uninterested. So real men go for pedicures, but we do not get anything put on. And I'm not going to ask the real men that raised their hand if they had anything put on, because I don't want to embarrass you, but telling you right now, nothing. But listen, we go do that all for ourselves, for our natural being. But then when we come to church, our spiritual being suffers. Hello. We go have a cold snack every week. preacher regurgitates something that he picked up offline. You know, there's places you can go to as a minister and you can get sermons. Other ministers put their sermons up online, and then other preachers that don't hear from God, they go pull a sermon offline. And then they recite it to people. It's a bunch of garbage. Get your own message from heaven. How about coming to church with something that's alive, that comes from the throne room of grace, not hearsay? I don't want to preach hearsay. I want to preach revelation. So if I'm going to preach revelation, then I better spend some time with my Heavenly Father and find out what He wants to say. How about when I get in the meeting, I allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me? There's a thought. Hello? Oh, by the way, if you let the Holy Spirit speak through you, you won't do it in an hour. Because He's got a lot more to say than just 1 hour. Hello? Some of you have spent 30, 40, 50 years perfecting your problems. And then you want God to sort it out in an hour. Hello? Amen. You may remember the days when you used to take pictures on your camera and then take the spool in and go get it developed? Anybody? And then how many remember when they started doing that in an hour? And we take our film in and then they do it in an hour. We go, my God, this is amazing. Like just, normally it's like 3 days. Then all of a sudden, like an hour. We can get it back in an hour? But let me tell you what, it'll take God more than 1 hour to develop some of your negatives. Hello? But we want to put God in a box. Let's try to do this. Can we do this quickly? No. We can do it longly, but we can't do it quickly. Isn't there a shortcut we can take? No. Hello? Sometimes it takes some people an hour or two just to get up to the bar. Because they're afraid of belling up and drinking. Now, if we do this enough over and over and over, then, you know, people walk in drunk. Then it's a whole different ball game. Amen. Then if people just came on a Sunday morning full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God, ready to let God do whatever He wants to do. You can imagine what's going to happen on a Sunday morning. But most churches, it's like a pick-me-up. They drag their blessed assurance into the place, because they're beat up from the week before, they come for their pick-me-up. Hello? That's why I love revival. Come on now. We get an injection from heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And listen, I'm not about a long meeting. I remember back in the 90s, you know, we'd started traveling and we met other evangelists that were traveling, and then they would always ask you, well, how long is your meeting? Well, our meetings go for 4 hours. Ours go for five, praise God. And, you know, I was never into that kind of thing. I mean, our meeting goes as long as the Holy Ghost can move. Amen. There's been some meetings that we've closed down at night, and the power of God's all over the house. I mean, people are just getting hammered by the Holy Spirit. And then I'm like, God says, okay, that's it for the night. I'm like, really? Can we not carry on? And the Lord said to me, no, because this is as far as I can take my children. They won't go any further tonight than where we are. Wow. Well, you listen to me. That's what the Lord told me. He said, I can only take them so far, and then I can't take them anymore. So that's why you have another night, and then you have another night, and you have another night. And then God builds on the night before. That's how revival goes. You come into a church, you break through on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. By the Wednesday, people are swinging off the chandeliers. But they weren't swinging off the chandeliers on Sunday because they still had religion. Oh, yeah. Do you understand where I'm going? Amen. The more time we spend in the presence of God, the more change comes. The more change comes, the more we want change. Amen. We want to see the Metroplex shaken by the power of God. Let me tell you how that's going to happen. The church needs to change. I said the church needs to change. And the church needs to change by the power of Almighty God. That's what has to happen. Have you all found the book of Luke? If you haven't, you probably never will. Verse 49, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." We have been promised the Holy Spirit. Listen to me real carefully. We as believers have been promised the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter, our guide, our paraclete, somebody sent alongside to help us. In actual fact, let me tell you where the Holy Spirit is. He lives on the inside of us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, the very Spirit of the living God goes with me. Hello. He's always there. There's never a moment that the Holy Spirit is not there. There's never a moment that the Holy Spirit won't be there to lead you, to guide you, to prompt you, to say, yes, do this, or no, don't do that, or stay away from this, or go to there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Hello. That's why we have to learn the voice of the Lord. I remember back in South Africa, at one time we lived on a fairly large property, so we bought some sheep. I've always said, listen, if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be a farmer. I love animals. I love the land. I think it's wonderful. And so back in South Africa, we bought some sheep. Well, yes, the deal. See, we're from Africa. I know Texans probably don't know what a sheep is, but because Texas is about cows. But anyway, it's those little woolly things that run around that look cute and taste amazing. Anybody like eating lamb? Okay, so listen to this real carefully. So we buy these sheep, and one mommy is pregnant, and she gives birth, I think, to three little babies. And so our little herd is growing. And here's the thing. I'd walk out in the morning before I went to work, and I would want to take him from the pen that they stayed in at night, and I would want to bring him in. We had this big round pen that we would move around the property, and they would just graze on the grass. It's like having a portable lawnmower, you know. So they would just chew on the grass, and then we'd move it further over and into other places and that. But here's the thing. I walk out there in the morning to call on them, and I'd whistle, and call on them. And then, you know, I'd open the gate, and then they're running all over the place. I mean, I'm running around like a crazy man. I mean, just can't catch these sheep. It's crazy. I'm like, all I can think is leg of lamb. If you don't come here now, you will become a lamb chop on my plate. I guarantee you. I mean, I couldn't get these sheep to listen to me. And then one day I walked out of the kitchen door, and as I did, I whistled for them, and they all came and looked at me, put their ears up, and came and stood at the gate. And I went, what? So then I went and opened the gate, and then they kind of followed me, and I took them and put them in their pen. And you know what? From that moment on, it was easy. Because yes, what the thing is, it took about 3 weeks, but these sheep actually got to know who we were. And got to hear when I whistled, they knew, hey, he's coming to take us. He's going to go feed us. And then they would follow me. And they would go into the pen. I never had to run around after them. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. We just have to learn the voice of the Lord. Hello? I said we have to learn the voice of the Lord. I've had people question the voice of God. I never question the voice of God. I know the voice of the Lord. I know when God speaks. Because I hung out with him. Hello, I've hung out. I've got to know the voice of the Lord. Come on now. I've had some people come and tell me some stuff. God said this and God said that. And I just look at them like, really? God? I was in a meeting down in Ohio one year. And man, the power of God was all over the house. Thursday night, it was jammed. It was a little country church, but it was just jammed with people. People were hungry. And so I said to the pastor on the Thursday night, I said, what about another week? I said, God's moving in a powerful way. I said, why don't you pray about it? And we'll talk tomorrow night, Friday night, and you know, let's talk about doing another week. Because, listen, if God's moving, let's go with the flow. People are hungry. They're coming in. So he said, okay, I'll pray about it. So on the way home, back to the motorhome, we were driving a motorhome at that time. The Lord said to me this. He said, he's not going to do another week. But there had been another pastor that came in. The Lord said, call that pastor and book up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and then it'll, the meetings will come out of that, and you can just go. And that was about like an hour away from where we were. So I had another evangelist call up that pastor and actually book the meetings before we even made, you know, before I'd even spoken to the pastor. Well, Friday night I get there, I said to the pastor, hey, come, let's talk quickly. I said, what do you feel about next week? Because I already knew the answer, because God told me, you know, the night before. I said, what do you feel about the next week? And so here's what he said to me. He said, no. He said, God said that we shouldn't go another week. So I looked at him and I said, God said that? He said, yeah, God told me that last night. We shouldn't go another week. I said, God? Like God, the creator of heaven and the earth, he told you that? Yes, he told me that. I went, okay. To, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, liar. You don't even know the voice of God. Amen. Hello. Why wouldn't God want to go another week and bless the people? Amen. Come on now. I've had ministers stand in front of me and lie, just blatantly lie, because of the move of God in their church, because they don't want the touch of heaven upon their lives as a preacher, so they shut everything down for the people. Are you listening to me? So we did. We went to that church down the road, and we started Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then the next week, the next week, the next week. 3 months we were in that church. 1 hour away from where we were. Are you listening to me? I mean, you think God's schizophrenic? Hello. God wants to bring a move of His Spirit, and ministers don't want it. So they, God said this to me. They didn't even know the voice of the Lord. I've had people come and say, God told me this. It's not even scriptural. They can't even line up with what they're saying in the Bible. It's not even in the Word. Is God going to tell us anything outside of the Word? Hello? But if you spend time with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, spend time in the Word, get to know who God is, get to know what He's done for you through Jesus, spend time with the Father, spend time with the Holy Ghost. Talk to Jesus on a daily basis. I'm telling you right now, you will get to hear and know the voice of the Father, so that when God speaks, you will obey, you will listen, you will follow. Hello, you will follow. It's very easy to have a great meeting when God's involved and you know how to hear the voice of God, because you just follow with whatever He's telling you. Hello. That's why we have no religion in these revival meetings, because God's not about religion. Amen. Amen. He's not about religion. Now, I believe God's about structure. I really do. I believe every meeting has to have structure. But then I look at the day of Pentecost and I think, well, that's probably the structure we need to have. Amen. Like a mighty rushing wind, like fire. Like everybody speaking in a strange language, like everybody drunk in the Holy Ghost. Hello, like everybody filled. That sounds like Holy Ghost structure to me. That's what I believe God wants to do. That's what I believe God, the structure that God wants to do. Listen, everywhere God went, everything that God ever did through Jesus and then through the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, there's always, in the natural, there's always chaos. Always chaos. People say, well, if God showed up, it'd be more organized. No. Because the moment God showed up in His glory, flesh would fall on the ground. Hello. And they did in Bible days when Jesus got around them. The Bible said people became like dead men. Well, what does that mean? Have you ever seen a dead man standing? That means they fell over. Hello. There are people that in these meetings, they become like dead men. They fall over. Why? Because of the power of God. Amen. In many cases, we just need to change the way we think. Really, in many cases, we probably shouldn't think. Hello. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. He said to the disciples to wait. Tarry, wait, wait. Don't go anywhere, just tarry, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. See, let me tell you something. We today, we're not tarrying for anything. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's already here. The disciples were told to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. I feel that. But when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, He's never left. So why would we have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come when the Holy Spirit's already here? Let me tell you what, the moment the first note is striked on the keyboard and we begin to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit's in the house and God already is beginning to move by His Spirit and beginning to touch the hearts and lives of people, beginning to soften their heart, beginning to set them free and getting them ready for their breakthrough. That's what's happening. Right away, it's happening right away. Hello. Not waiting. We're not waiting for the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll spend a couple of weeks tarrying. I'm just tarrying. What are you waiting for? In actual fact, to be honest with you, I don't even want to pray for revival because we're having it. Here's what I want to pray for. I want to pray for the hunger that comes in the hearts and lives of the believers so that they would cry out for more of God. That's what I want to pray, because I believe if we had more believers crying out for God, there'd be a greater move of the Spirit. Hello. It's not like we're having dead meetings going, oh God, send your fire, Lord, send your power. God, we need joy. Oh God, please. You tell us to shut up so that I can move. Hello. He's already moving by His Spirit. He's already moving by His power. People are already getting set free. The difference between the 90s and now is just a head count. Or a heart count, that's all. Because some people in the 90s didn't grab a hold of what God was doing and didn't allow God to change him on the inside. That's why they're absent now. Oh, you listen to me. That's why they're absent now. We're present because back in the 90s and then any other time that any one of you have jumped in the river, I'm present tonight because I allowed God to come and I allowed the Holy Spirit to transform me on the inside and change me back in the 90s. That's why I'm present. That's why Pastor Bob loves the move of the Holy Spirit, because God touched him in a very powerful way back in the 90s and even before that. That's why this church loves revival and the move of God, because of him. Oh, you listen to me. I've traveled enough around the nation, around the world, to find pastors that want to control what God is doing. I've had them stand in front of me saying, man, we want the move of God, we want revival, and then we show up just like we do here, power of God, just like we see here, and then they go, oh, no, no, this is not what we want. This is a little radical. Could we tone it down? No. How do we tell the Holy Spirit, listen, this is a little too radical. You need to, Holy Spirit, you need to calm down just a little bit. How do we do that? Please, come on. Let me tell you something. I would rather grieve man than grieve the Holy Spirit. I would rather grieve man. And I tell you right now, when I say that, I felt the Holy Ghost get on me right there. I would rather grieve man than grieve the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing. Man comes and goes. Holy Spirit is always there. Amen. He's my best friend. Holy Spirit's my best friend. We talk all the time. I mean all the time. Hello. I get peace by hanging out with him. I get joy by hanging out with him. I get healing in my body by hanging out with him. Hello. Doesn't matter what we face in the day, in the week. I hang out with God. It's a great journey. Hello. I realize he's got it all under control. He knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Not worried about anything. It says over here, it says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Listen to this carefully. Until you be endued with power from on high. Until you be endued with power from on high. What has happened to the power that came on the day of Pentecost? Where did this power go to? Why do we not see the demonstration of the power of Almighty God in the church today? Why don't we see the demonstration of the power of God on TV? Look, I'm going to say this very boldly. I think these Christian television stations are actually owned by Christians. Right? I'm going to say that boldly. I really think they are. Right? Would anybody else agree with that? So why do we stop? Why don't we see the demonstration of the power of God on TV? We're afraid we might offend people. Hello? So the world look at Christian TV and think we're all just a bunch of deadheads. We have no clue what we say one thing with our mouth and then we do something else. Hello? Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just speak the word, decree and declare the word of God, and then allow it to be backed up by the power of Almighty God with the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what, I'm never afraid that God won't show up. I'm never afraid about that. I always know He's here. Hello? We do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Why? Because it sets people free. Amen. I said it sets people free. Amen. See, in these last days, something has to happen within us so God can transform our inner man so that we can be that pure and that holy vessel, that we can be that carrier of the Holy Spirit, of the anointing, of revival, of the fire, of joy. The rivers of living water can flow out of our belly to set the captive free. That's what has to happen. God has to come and ignite a fire of revival on the inside of the church. If the Holy Spirit's not welcome, then neither are we. I've shut down meetings before because the minister doesn't want the move of God. I'm out of here. Oh, you listen to me. I'm gone. Why? Because if you don't want God to show up, then what am I doing here? Because I don't know anything else but that. I don't even know how to have a dead meeting. I've forgotten. I can't remember. How do we have a dead meeting? I think I make the mistake by welcoming the Holy Spirit. When I welcome the Holy Spirit, He shows up, and then signs, wonders, and miracles start happening, and dead is gone. Hello? See, and every one of us have to make a decision. I made a decision many years ago that I'll follow the Holy Spirit and we'll do whatever He wants to do. And we're not going to compromise the word in any way. And we're not going to back off because others don't like it. Oh, you listen to me. I can't please man and God at the same time. I have to choose. And I'm the one that's going to stand before God, and I'm going to have to give an account to God what I did with what He gave me down here on this earth. And I mean, heaven help me if I'm standing in front of God saying, well, God, the people. Hello. Don't have to be ashamed of this. We don't have to be ashamed of the move of God. You know, some ministers want the move of God on a Friday night or on a Sunday night, but they don't want it on a Sunday morning. Because there's people that come on a Sunday morning that they don't want them to be exposed or look at the church like there's something wrong with us because we're getting full of joy and getting happy and getting free and getting blessed. I'm like, listen, I don't care who's sitting on the front row. If they're in my meeting, listen, we're going to let the Holy Ghost come in and do whatever He wants to do. Hey, we might never have another shot at it. It might be the only time they're in the meeting. Hello? Why do you think we lay hands on everybody every meeting? Because you might never come back. I'm praying the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and slap you up the side of the head. Amen. And slap you down the other side. That's what I'm praying. I don't want to pray a nice prayer for you. I want God to shake you till your false teeth rattle. Hello. I want God to drop a fire on you, burn your blessed assurance, get you stirred up for the kingdom. All we need is 100, 150, 200 people around this area that are on fire for God that'll carry the fires of revival. Listen, we'll see a great move of God in this area. I'm telling you now, it's not about the thousands, because it takes a few people to carry the fire, and then they set the fire on others, and then they set the fire on others, and then it multiplies. That's what Jesus did with himself. That's what God's doing today. It's not about me. It's not about these meetings. It's about you getting touched by the power of God and then becoming a carrier of the fire of revival. That's what it's about. But let me tell you what, to get to that place, you have to be hungry and thirsty, and you have to allow God to change you. And that could be one of the biggest things that people have to deal with, is change. We don't like change. Do you know that in the 90s, really 93, 94, 95, maybe even 96, I mean, it was really like a party atmosphere. People come in, get touched. I mean, God was changing people. Of course, he had changed me, but I was hungry for that. But there were a lot of people that weren't changing, but they were coming in for the experience. And then it was like in 96 where it was like God took away the fence. And it was almost like when our feet hit the ground, we were either for revival or not. And then all of a sudden, 96, 97, 98, suddenly there were people that were in the move of God, 93, 94, 95. Now suddenly they weren't there. Suddenly they had backed off. I mean, I had friends of mine that were on my board, loved the move of God. All of a sudden, well, no, you know, we're going to change a little bit up, and we're going to go after the dead. I'm like, all right, man. We'll see you around in the next revival, I suppose. When you're dying and you're thirsty and hungry and desperate. Hello. And they did. They went after the dead. I had some of their people from that church come in my meetings in Missouri. And let me tell you what they said to me, man. We remember when you were back in our church in 94, 95, 96. And we loved the move of God. We missed this so much in our church. They said the only time we get it is once a quarter. Once a quarter, we have a Holy Ghost meeting. Once a quarter. Four times a year. Can you say starvation? Can you say undernourished, malnutrition, spiritual scurvy? Hello? And these are people that were in the move of God, loved the move of God. But let me tell you what they did. They wouldn't allow God to change them. See, God, you can come move, but don't change me. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to do whatever you want to do, but don't change me. And so what they did is they went, and listen, I look at their life, their family. I mean, everything's in a mess. Everything's in a mess. Hello? You can't taste of the good things of God and then pull right back out and then try to structure everything the way you want it to structure because you want to grow a church. Hello? We're not in the book of Numbers. We're in the book of Acts. It's not about numbers. It's not about a head count. Are you listening to me? It's about the demonstration of the power of Almighty God. When you have an encounter with God, your life will be transformed from the inside out. I don't care where you come from. I don't care your background. Listen, when you have an encounter with God, everything changes. And when everything changes, then God can take you, raise you up, and begin to bless you and use you in a powerful way in these last days. And I'm telling you right now, that's what God wants to do. It's not about compromising the word in any way. It's about preaching the word of God boldly. Listen, let me close with this. I understand that the message of prosperity, I understand people get upset about that. I know they do. I've taught on this message for many years, and I look at people and I think they're upset with me. But I'm not going to quit. Because there's more people getting set free by the message than what they are getting upset. So here's the thing. If they get upset by the message, then listen, if you get upset by the word, change. Because that's the Holy Spirit prodding at you, saying, hey, your life doesn't line up with this word. You need to change. Listen, it's not my fault. It's not the preacher's fault when he's preaching the word and you start getting uneasy about it. Because it's very easy to go, oh, that preacher, what does he know? He doesn't know, what he's talking about. Hey, I'm not the one that needs a financial miracle. I know how to get it, and I know how to get from heaven whatever I need and whatever I want. So I'm not the one needing a financial miracle. Now, 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, my God, I'd be sitting on the front row, you know, I need a miracle. I learned how to get a miracle. I know how to get a miracle. I'm trying to help others get a miracle. I want to see other people get set free. Because lack is not the middle, you know, God's middle name. Lack has nothing to do with God whatsoever. Lack has got to do with the enemy. Now, don't get me started back up on the subject because, you know, I'll just go on for another hour. Are you listening? Now, just leave it alone now. Come on. My God. Stop drawing me aside. I'm trying to stay focused over here. See, so we compromise this, we compromise that, we compromise the power of God, we compromise the move of the Holy Spirit, we compromise what God wants to do. Then we look at the church and wonder why so many are sick, so many are weary, so many are tired, depressed, beat up, financially they're poor, they're struggling, they're battling. Why? Because the ministers don't preach the gospel and they compromise the word. And they compromise the anointing. I can't heal you. I'm not the healer. I can't set you free. I've had people come and say, man, praise God, you healed that person. No, I didn't do anything. I was just a donkey braying in that tin barn that night. I had nothing to do with the healing. I just placed a demand on the anointing. Jesus healed them, not me. It's his power. It's his anointing. He touched their life. He set them free. All praise and honor and glory go back to God. Doesn't come to me. Or you listen to me. I just choose not to compromise. Because I know what compromise brings. And I can tell you right now, when the fire of God hits you, the fire is burning on the inside of you, you'll never compromise either. I believe when the fire of God touches people, there's something that happens. That's why the day of Pentecost, there was fire on everyone. Something happens on the inside of you when the fire of God gets on you. It's like it burns out all the dross, removes out all the garbage. Hello? You know, when you drive through the country and you look at a field, and many farmers do that, and actually, in fact, the place we keep our horses out there, you know, the cowboy over there, he was welding something and he set the grass. Sorry, I'm going to tell the story, but he's watching from Canada right now. But let me say this. He set the grass on fire and it burnt a whole lot of grass and the fire guys came out and they put out the fire. Let me tell you what, the most beautiful place on the ranch right now is where the fire burnt everything. Because now that whole area is green. The rest has got like a brownish color, but that whole area is green. Why? Because the fire burnt everything out of the ground, burnt all the weeds, took all the garbage out of it, and what came out was pure, was beautiful green. That's what God does to us. The fire gets on us, and then everything that shouldn't be there is burnt out. It's burnt out. And then what comes out of us is pure. It's holy. Are you listening to me? That's why the fire of God is so important. That's why we lay hands on people and pray the fire of God down on people. Why? Because it's purification that's happening. Amen. We need, and I'm going to close with this and then pray for people. We need as many people as we can get on fire, full of the Holy Ghost, carriers of the anointing in these last days. So we can shake the city of Fort Worth. We can shake the city of Dallas. We can see Texas shaken by the power of Almighty God. We can see America shaken by the power of Almighty God. God has a plan and God has a purpose for America. And I can tell you right now, it does not have anything to do with the agenda that the snowflakes have. I'm telling you right now, God's plan and God's purpose for this nation has nothing to do with the agenda that the snowflakes have. Because when the fire gets on you, you won't be a snowflake anymore. Hello. But God has a plan for America. This nation is a great nation. And it's got great people. And listen, anywhere in the world, I don't care what nation it is, somewhere along the line, they have been touched by missionaries that have come right out of America. Every nation in this world has been touched some way or another by missionaries that have come out of America. And I've said this for many years. I do believe that before Jesus comes, there's going to come another wave of missionaries that will leave these shores and travel the world. But listen to me carefully. Those missionaries, I believe, are going to be people that know the voice of the Lord. They're going to know how to carry the anointing. They're going to be carrying the fire of Almighty God. And everywhere they go, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to happen. I believe there's coming another wave of missionaries that will leave the shore, full of the Holy Ghost. Because you see, God loves America. That's why there's such a design on America to change the way of life. That's why there's such a design on America to change the way of life. Let me tell you what. That they will not change America because God's involved in this nation. There are hungry and thirsty people that are crying out to God every day for the move of His Spirit. The hunger, the thirst, the desperation, it's upon the church. Are you listening to me? There's a guy on YouTube I follow. I don't watch the news at all. I follow, there's a guy on YouTube because the news guys, they lie. Bunch of liars. I mean, I can tell you right now, when they get to hell, they'll be reporting from hell. It's really not that hot down here. Liar. Pants on fire. Literally, amen. But listen, let me tell you, I watch this guy and he reports the news and he says it as it is. He just looks. This is it. And I watch some of these liberals and I mean, I laugh. I crack myself at them. I just laugh because you know what? They have no clue. They have no clue what's going on. This nation is a God-fearing nation. This nation is founded upon the principles of the Word of God. And as long as we're breathing down here on this earth, we're going to contend for the move of God. Yeah, there might be a few bumps in the road, but I can tell you right now, at the end of the day, God will have the final say. Yeah. Do you know that in Africa, listen to this, and I'm going to close here shortly. In Africa, what's the problem? Did I say something funny? Huh? What? No? Am I good? What's the problem? Oh, closing shortly? No. Look. Let me say this. That's what preachers do. We do that all the time. Now, in closing, that's only the first. There's about another seven that will follow. And let me tell you why we do that. Because when you say in closing, people that were drifting off, they go, he's closing. And then they'll focus and they'll pay attention and they'll listen. And then when I see you drifting off, I go, now in closing. Oh, he's closing. See? That's how we keep the attention of the people. So, in closing, listen to this carefully. Listen, in Africa, there are thousands upon thousands of people every day. And when I say people, I'm talking about Muslims giving their heart to Jesus every day. Every day. See, we don't hear that. We don't hear that. We don't hear that. So look, we got to take a stand. The church cannot compromise the word. We cannot compromise the anointing. We cannot compromise the move of God, because at the end of the day, it's all we have. Jesus, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and His Word. You know what? It's all we need. Because I look at it this way, with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Word, we have the majority. I said, we have the majority. They are more with us than what they are with them. We have the majority. We serve the God that's going to have the final say what's going to happen down here on this earth. That's the God we serve. In actual fact, let me break some more news to those that are watching. He is the only God. He is the only God. Oh, let me break one more news. He's not the God of the Quran. He's not the God of the Quran. The God of the Quran and the God of the Bible, they're not the same God. Because you see, the God that we serve is a God of love. He's not a God of hate. He's a God of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still happy you came this evening? I mean, I've just been poking the bear every which way I can the other thing. Hallelujah. Let's all just bow our heads and close our eyes here for one moment. I want to give anybody here this evening, I'm not sure your walk with God, so I'm going to give you an opportunity this evening. Three invitations I'm going to give. Maybe you've come into this place, you've never given your heart to Jesus. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. Maybe you have given your heart to the Lord. But you're not serving Him like you should be. And you need to rededicate your life and make that fresh start. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Maybe you've come into this place tonight. You've given your heart to the Lord, but the devil keeps lying to you, telling you you're not saved. Tonight you can make sure of your salvation. You do not have to live with that hanging over your head any longer. Any one of those three invitations, either you've got to give your heart to the Lord for the first time, rededicate your life, make a fresh start, or make sure of your salvation. I want to pray with you and for you. If you're in this place tonight and you know God's tugging at your heart, just raise your hand and then keep it up there for me. Just raise your hand right across the building. Anybody in the house, just slip your hand up quickly and then keep it up there. Let me see where you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. It's not about being concerned about what other people think. It's about being right, in right standing with God. That's what it's about. If you're worried about other people tonight, let me say this. This might be your last night on earth. If it was your last night on earth and you walked out of this place and you fell down dead, where would you go? Because once you're dead, eternity starts. And if your life is not right with God, let me tell you what, you go to a lost eternity. Forever. Hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil. Hell was not made for the human being. That's why Jesus came, to bridge the gap, to make the way, so man does not have to go to hell. One last opportunity. Anybody in the house, any one of those free invitations, quickly. I do feel there's one or two people here that need to respond, but I can't make you respond, so I'm just going to give the invitation. Slip your hand up if it's you, and I'll pray with you and for you. Anybody in the house, quickly. I'm going to move along now. Hallelujah. Everybody, look at me up quickly. Let me say this to you. I don't want to do an altar call out of religion or out of tradition. I never do an altar call because we do an altar call. Are you listening to me? I don't teach on prosperity because it's just something you have to do. I don't preach a message because it's something I have to do. I never do the table of the Lord because it's a ritual thing we do. I don't give an altar call because it's something we have to do. I give an altar call because I'm giving people an opportunity to respond. But it's not out of religion that we do these. Are you listening to me? It's not out of religion. Is there anyone in the house yet tonight? Look, we'll be back Wednesday night. Is there anyone in the house that knows somebody that's going to a lost eternity? Anybody? You know somebody going to a lost eternity. Do you know somebody that's living in the area that's going to a lost eternity? Anybody? So you're telling me all your neighbors are saved? Do you know your neighbors? Anybody know their neighbors? Are they all born again? You invite them to come? Invite them. Tell them, listen, I'll pick you up and bring you. We as believers have to start reaching out. I know this church goes out and wins souls. So I don't want to teach people how to win souls because I know there's a whole bunch of soul winners in the house. I don't have a problem with that at all. But we can bring them into the meeting. Imagine somebody coming in here, getting saved, getting totally set free, getting full of the Holy Ghost, getting the fire of God on them, all in one night. It's possible. Amen. It's possible. See, as believers, we should just be stirred up to talk to others about Jesus. That's what we should be. It should be part of our DNA. Amen. It should be part of our DNA. So I'm asking people, get stirred up. Yeah. Bring people into the house. Bring the lost in. These are wonderful meetings. Let me tell you what. These are wonderful meetings. God's doing some wonderful things. But there's so many others that need this touch of heaven. Amen. And let me tell you something. Unsaved people that come into these meetings where there's joy, they love it. Well, you listen to me. The world loves what they see here because they're looking for something real. And they cannot believe that we come to church and have this much fun. Because the last time they went to church, it was dead. So I'm telling you right now, the believers are not the ones that run out the door going, I've got to get out of here. Religion runs out the door. Religion runs out the door. But unsaved, they don't. They're looking for something real. Bless you. You will be amazed at how many people have an ear to hear the gospel that are out there in the world. But the Christian is too afraid to take that step and just tell them, you know what? Jesus loves you. Did you know that Jesus loves you? You know, he has a plan for your life. You know that? And you, and listen, you can tell people that all day long, and there'll be people that all day long will listen to you. Oh, one or two might, you know. But listen, there are people out there that are desperate to hear about Jesus, and it's up to you and I. It's up to the believer, the Holy Ghost carrying believer. Amen. He has an icebreaker. You can go up to somebody and say, man, I just want to ask you, is there something I can pray for you? I'm a believer. I want to pray for you. A sinner, can I pray for you about something? I guarantee you there's always something you can pray about. You grab a hold of their hands, start praying, let the Holy Ghost flow. They're going to feel that. And then you move right into salvation. Come on now. Amen. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. Amen. Sorry for the cat lovers. We're not actually going to skin a cat. Don't get me wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you all with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.